Well, this morning we are continuing on in our sermon series through the book of Psalms, as we do in the summer, looking at Psalm 48. But before we read it, let me remind you of the past couple Psalms. It's interesting, as we look at the Psalms and we consider that God, by His Spirit, encouraged someone to compile these Psalms in a book, that they lead into one another. So if you recall Psalm 46, the main idea was, God is present as a strong refuge for His people. They need not fear. Then Psalm 47, the main idea was, because God reigns and will reign, we should praise Him. And so we understand that God is present as a refuge and God reigns over His people. Well, this particular psalm looks at God's reign as a refuge for His people in the city of Jerusalem. And this is how I would articulate the main idea for this psalm. God's presence is a blessing to God's people that should result in God's praise. God's presence is a blessing to God's people that should result in God's praise. And so let's read Psalm 48 together. I encourage you to open your Bible or turn on your devices, so that we can consider God's word this morning, looking at all of Psalm 48. A song, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. Within her citadels, God has made Himself known as a fortress. For behold, the kings assembled. They came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there, anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind, you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Number her towers. Consider well her ramparts. Go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this psalm of praise to you in regards to your presence. I pray, Father God, that you, by your Spirit, present in each one of your people here this morning, would communicate the truth of your word deeply, deeply into their hearts, deeply into their minds, that we might be changed. And I pray, Father God, that you, by that very same Spirit, would help me this morning to communicate your truth faithfully and helpfully, Father God, to that purpose. And as always, we pray, help us to see Jesus this morning, our great Savior. It's in His name we pray. Amen. So this is a song about God's city, the city of God's presence, which in the psalm is called Zion. Now, Zion was a designation used in the Hebrew Bible for really five different things. First of all, it was used to designate the eastern hill of Jerusalem. That's why we see in this psalm the reference to His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation. It also became a designation for the Temple Mount itself when it was built in Jerusalem. The third thing it designates really is the entire city of Jerusalem. So the Old Testament specifically will use the word Zion to speak about the entire city of Jerusalem, as we see in this psalm, where it's made clear that the reference is the city of the Lord of hosts, the city of our God. It's also used metaphorically for the people of Israel in the Old Testament. And even in the New Testament, on one occasion, it refers to the church. That's Hebrews 12:22. So that's what Zion means. This is a psalm about Zion, the city of Jerusalem, and the Temple Mount, as it pertains to the presence of God and the praise that his presence should give rise to in the midst of his people. So an important theme in this psalm is not just that it's about Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is where God resides. We see that Jerusalem, Zion, is the city of our God. It's his holy mountain. It's the city of the great king, the city of the Lord of hosts. So much is God to be connected and associated with the city of Jerusalem that at the end of the psalm, in referring to the city itself, the psalmist says that we will tell the next generation that this is our God. That then when they look at Jerusalem, when they look at the temple, that we could say to them, this is our God. This is evidence of his presence with us. God's presence in God's city is what this psalm is about. And what we see very clearly is that his presence in his city, in the midst of his people, gives rise to great blessing. Now we see these blessings particularly in the first three verses, verses 1 through 3, where God's presence is seen as the very source, the necessary foundation of the blessing that comes. We see in verse 1 that the mountain is called holy because of God's presence, and that it is beautiful as a result of God's presence, and that this brings joy to the whole earth, and that he will be known and has made himself known as a fortress. There's security here. So what we see is that the presence of the Lord of hosts adorns Zion, adorns the city of Jerusalem in such a way that it is said to be holy and beautiful, a joy and security. And so we see that the presence of God is the bestowal of these blessings. In regards to the holiness and the beauty and the joy and the security of God's presence, Alan Ross, in his commentary on the psalm, says this: God's holy presence was made known to his people in the holy city. It is what made the mountain holy. The first description of Zion is that it is beautiful in elevation or loftiness. There were other mountains that were higher, but the height of Zion was more beautiful because God chose this one as his dwelling place. In other words, it is here that heaven and earth meet. And so that makes its height more glorious than any other mountain. And because of the presence of God in Zion, it is the joy of the whole earth. The proclamation of the presence of God is made known throughout the earth, making the dwelling place of his presence the crowning joy. Within the citadels of the city, God has made himself known as a stronghold, a high tower, something inaccessibly high. In fact, it is God who is the high tower, for he is the defense of his people. You see, all of the blessings, the holiness and the beauty and the joy and the security of Jerusalem, of the city of Zion, is a direct result of the presence of God. And but for the presence of God, those things would not be said of it. Now, let's understand a couple things about God's presence. It's spoken about in several different ways. We can talk about his omnipresence, right? God is omnipresent. He is essentially everywhere present. There is no way you can go anywhere apart from God's presence. And that's one way to talk about him. He is present in time, present in space, present in all creation, present to every creature. That's God's omnipresence. That's one of the ways we talk about God. But there is also his covenant presence. That is, God is present with his people in a special way to bless them and judge them in accordance with his covenant. And that is the presence that this psalm is particularly focused on. God is present with his people as a blessing to them. God is with Israel, and Jerusalem is his city. And so as we consider the presence of God, we have to understand that this psalm is talking about his presence in a special way to his own people. Now, as we consider that for ourselves on this side of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we need to understand that God's presence is experienced by us through Jesus. That we can, in fact, say, just as the Jewish people did, that he is God with us because of Jesus. Jesus is the very fulfillment of God with us. There are lots of verses we could look at. I wanted this morning to look at a passage from John chapter 1, which in a beautiful way, in a memorable way, talks about God's presence with us. I'm going to read John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So John starts off by talking about Jesus as God. He is the Word. He was with God, and he was God. And then in verse 6, he talks about John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And then he goes on to talk about Jesus. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, because of that, because of Jesus, God with us coming to earth and taking on flesh and becoming a man, we can say, just as they said back then, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But in fact, we can even go further than that. We can go further than say he dwelt among us. We can say he dwells in us. You see, God with us is part of the picture, but it goes even further because we say not just God with us, but God in us. When we talk about the presence of God mediated to us through Jesus Christ, we say God in us. Jesus is God with us in an ultimate covenant relationship, so much so that we can say God in us. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6:16, where Paul is actually addressing an issue with the Corinthians, and he says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we, that is, we who believe, we who have been adopted into God's family, we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, the fulfillment of God's presence in the Old Testament, the fulfillment of God being in the city of Zion as his city in which he dwelt, is his dwelling by his Spirit in each and every believer. So much so that we don't just say God with us, we can say God in us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13, by this we know we abide in him and he in us. How do we know that we abide in him and he in us? because he has given us of his Spirit. What a glorious truth this morning as we consider the presence of God in the city of God, in Jerusalem, in Zion, on the Temple Mount, and all the blessings that it bestowed upon God's people, that we, because of Christ, don't just say God with us, we say God in us. That is a glorious truth. The presence of Jesus, God with us and God in us, is experienced in our day through repentance and faith. In repentance, we turn from our sins. We turn from our sinful ways, and we turn to God in his ways. In faith, we trust and treasure Jesus Christ and all that he accomplished for salvation. We consider his incarnation and his birth. We consider his life of sinless perfection and obedience. We consider his sacrificial, substitutionary death. And we consider his resurrection and ascension. And we look to that and we understand as we turn from our sins and put our faith in God that his presence abides in us and we abide in him. This morning, if you're not a believer, if you've never considered yourself a Christian, let me encourage you this morning that God's presence is a real thing. And it can be so real that you could speak of it in such a way that goes beyond even God with us, but you could say God in us or God in me. And we avail ourselves of that relationship with him through Christ, by turning from our sin and believing in him. And I exhort you to consider that this morning. Now, just like the Israelites in Jerusalem who experienced the blessing of God because of the presence of God, we too experience the blessing of God because of the presence of Jesus in our lives. There's many ways we could talk about that, but let's talk about that in regards to what the psalm talks about. The presence of Jesus in our lives is to us holiness, beauty, joy, and security. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27 speaks about the holiness, the blessing of the presence of Jesus in our lives. Again, Paul, talking about something he was addressing with the church in Ephesians, starts by saying, "Husbands, love your wives." And then he goes on to describe what that looks like and what he means by that. He says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. See, Paul says, God loved us in such a way that Jesus came and died for us. And in doing that, he makes us holy. We can achieve holiness by no other way. You know that. You may have tried that. You understand the futility of that. And yet, the presence of Christ makes us holy. We can be holy and without blemish. Now, this splendor of holiness is part of the blessing of God in our lives. And it goes even beyond that in terms of a beautification that God's presence brings. Psalm 149:4 talks about the beauty that the presence of God in our lives brings. He says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation." That word adorns means makes beautiful. He makes beautiful the humble with salvation. There is nowhere else where that is fulfilled more clearly than in the work of Christ, in which all those things we talked about can come to those who humble themselves, repent of their sins, and put their faith in them. They are saved. That is, God, through Jesus, makes one beautiful because of salvation. That's what his work has done in our life. Now, I got to be honest with you. I don't look into the mirror in the morning and say, wow, beautiful. Not something that occurs to me. Nevertheless, regardless of what we may think of our outward appearance, we need to understand that we are made beautiful by Christ in the eyes of God. Further to that, there is not a person here, regardless of your physical appearance, who, if you were to go to other believers and brothers and sisters in this church, you wouldn't hear of things in your life that are beautiful that they can see. We need to be people who both speak those things to our brothers and sisters. Here's what I see in your life that Jesus has done that is beautiful. But we also need people who go to our brothers and sisters when we can't see the beauty of Christ in our own life, and allow them to express to us the evidences of the beautiful grace of God in our lives. He makes us beautiful. And he brings joy. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete. There are lots of verses which speak to the joy that God's bring when we are in fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and with each other. This is so that our joy might be complete. And one day it will be complete, ultimately and fully and without end. And his presence also brings security, again from 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who was born of God protects him. Now, you got to follow this. We know that everyone has been born of God does not keep in sinning. But he who was born of God protects him. That he, that second he who was born of God is Jesus. He is the one, the firstborn of God. He protects him, all the others who are born of God. So we understand that Jesus protects the others who are born of God after him, and it says, and the evil one does not touch him. There are many ways in which we find security in regards to God's presence in our life through Jesus Christ. And so we see in this context, as we consider Psalm 48, where there is the blessing of holiness and beauty and joy and security, that in fact Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Psalm 48. He's the fulfillment of the presence of God in the midst of his people. So much so that it's not just God with us, but God in us. And his work is a work of holiness and beautification and joy and security, as well as many more things. The presence of God is a present reality for God's people through Jesus, who has given us God's Spirit. And God's presence in this way is a blessing for us. A blessing that, among many other things, is holiness, beauty, joy, and security. Now, as we consider that, as we consider the presence of God in Jerusalem, as we consider the presence of God in our own lives, as we understand that his presence brings forth these blessings, it did in the case of Jerusalem, it does in our case, then what ought to happen is we ought to be moved to praise. God's presence resulted in blessings which gave rise to praise. God's presence give rise to blessings in our lives, which also should result in praise. To finish this morning, let me give you some very practical tips from Psalm 48, because I think Psalm 48 lays out for us a pathway of praise. As we experience God's presence, as we experience the blessing of God's presence. We should be moved to praise. And Psalm 48 actually gives us a pathway in which we can move into praising God. And so let's consider that this morning as we close. First, in verses 4 through 7, after 1 through 3 lays out the blessings, verse 4 through 7 tells us to remember God's acts. Remember God's acts resulting from his presence in your life. And that's what the psalmist does in verses 4 through 7. He remembers when God moved. He remembers, in fact, a specific act of God in saving Zion from an invading army. We see in the psalm that kings and their armies gathered. They began to march against Zion as an invading army. And they are arrayed for battle. They are ready for war. And then they see the city. They are astonished. They become terrified. And they flee for their lives. The psalmist remembers a saving act of God. We need to do that. It's a pathway to praise, to remember God's saving act in our own life. This is one of the things that is so beautiful about baptism. Think back to a baptism service. Think back to your own baptism. Think back to the baptism of one of your children. What's glorious in that time of baptism, among other things, is the testimony that the candidate gives to the saving act of God in their life. It's astounding. You know, we even hear from kids who grew up in the church, and they can testify to the saving act of God in their lives such that we're moved to tears and joy. We need to remember God's saving act. That's the first step in this pathway to praise. The second step we see in verses 8 through 11, reflect on God's attributes. We see in verse 9, we have thought on. Right, the psalmist says, we have thought about these things. We have considered these things. What are those things? Verse 9, the steadfast love of God. Verse 10, the praiseworthiness of God. His praise extends to the end of the earth. In verse 10, his righteousness. Your right hand is filled with righteousness, the psalmist says. And then in 11, God's wisdom. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. We're called to reflect on the attributes of God. In this particular psalm, it's his steadfast love, his covenant love and faithfulness to his people. It is his praiseworthiness. He is worthy of praise because of who he is. His righteousness. God does what is right and just all the time, and his wisdom, such that he can make judgment and it causes his people to rejoice. Let me suggest for you this morning four resources in regards to reflecting on God's attributes. Two from some authors who are dead and have gone to be with their Lord, both with the first two initials A.W. A.W. Pink, the attributes of God. A.W. Tozer, the knowledge of the holy. Two great resources, smaller books, jam-packed with a biblical understanding of the attributes of God. Two others, more modern, written in the last couple years. Jen Wilkin wrote a book called None Like Him. A lot of what she built that on was Pink and Tozer's book. We studied this as a life group, a wonderful, wonderful book on the attributes of God that has been written, I think, within the last couple years. And one that came out this year by Matthew Barrett, None Greater. So there's four books, four resources I want to encourage you with as we consider reflecting on the attributes of God. And finally, step three, the final step on this pathway to praise. Recognize the reality. Recognize the reality. This was verses 12 through 14. Recognize the reality of God's presence in your life. Brothers and sisters, we need to stop for a moment and take a survey of our life so that we clearly understand God's glorious presence in our life through Jesus Christ. And as we run about scurrying to and fro in our lives, particularly in a time of a pandemic where things are changing daily and we're inundated with bad news, and we have much reason to fear or worry or be frustrated, we need to just stop and take a survey of our life. Look what the psalmist does. He says, walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God. He tells, I know this is your city, I know that you live here, but stop for a minute. Take a look around. Number the buildings. Walk through the streets. Take a survey of what God has done here in Jerusalem. So that you will say, as you look at this city, this is God. We need that, people, in this day and this age, to just stop and take a survey of our lives and all the wonderful things that come to us through Christ. In this day and in the day to come, so that for a moment in the midst of the difficulties and trials, we can say, as we look at our lives, not because of us, but because of what He has done, this is God. This is God's doing. This is God's work, so that we might be taken to a place of praise. Psalm 48. God's presence is a blessing to God's people that should result in God's praise. God's presence is mediated to us through Jesus Christ. As we repent and believe, we can say not only God with us, but God in us. And He brings blessings to our lives. And we need to respond in praise. And one of the ways we can respond in praise, that we can be led down that pathway to praise God, is by remembering His saving acts, reflecting on His attributes, and recognizing the reality of God's blessing in our life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the unbelievable, gracious work of Christ, that we, who were once rebels, who were once children of wrath, who rejected You, can now say, God with us and God in us. What a marvelous and glorious truth that is. And beyond that, we see, because of Christ and Your Spirit in us, blessing after blessing after blessing. You do Your work of holiness, Father God. You adorn Your saints with salvation. You beautify us with salvation. You bring joy. You bring security. Let us be in wonder of Your presence in our lives, Father God. And we pray that You would, Father God, help us to be people who respond in praise because of Your presence and the blessings of that presence in our life. Help us to remember Your saving acts in our lives. Help us to reflect on Your wonderful attributes. And help us to recognize the reality of all that's come to us through Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.